We have much reason to celebrate today. First of all, it's BB Sunday, where every boy and girl has given the opportunity and have responded with the privilege of leading us in worship to our Lord God. Baptism Sunday, where we welcome new members into the family of God. Father's Day, where we are reminded not only of the fathers who had done so much for us, but also of our Heavenly Father who had also given so much through His Son, Jesus. But now we come to the moment where every Sunday is the reason why we celebrate, and that is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the living, active God giving to us His Word today. We're looking at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is the last chapter of the three-chapter discourse that the Apostle Paul has with the big question of what is God's plan for His people? The elect group of people, the Israelites, the one who God even refers Himself, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What then is His plan when He sees so many of them rejecting Christ, and even within the Jewish community, many of them have very different beliefs? For example, the Pharisees, we will know, are the legalists, the spiritualists. They're the ones who want to follow every rule of the law and thinking that their law will save them. The Sadducees, on the other hand, are skeptics. They don't believe in life after death. They don't believe in miraculous works. They just believe in following the law as a means to give God praise while they are here on earth, but then they do not believe in life after death. And then you have the hedonists, these people who says, you know what, I'm going to disregard my Jewish culture and religion, and I'm going to just jump into the world. That sounds very familiar for us today. Romans chapter 11 also then shows Paul in a very vulnerable state. He himself a Jew, and yet he sees his other Jewish people not receiving the Messiah, whom he displayed scripture to clearly say that this Jesus, the Messiah, is indeed the one they've all been waiting for. So what is God's plan? What is God's plan? To the various celebrations today, to the groups of people today, those who've been newly baptized and some rebaptized, you might ask the question, what is God's plan for my life? Therefore, I've been baptized. I'm now part of the Christian community. What now is left for me to do? I believe this passage is for you. For those of you who are in uniform, you may ask the question, why in the world Boys Brigade ends up being in a church setting? What is the reason for this close connection? Why did Sir William, the founder of the Boys Brigade, do it that way? And for us as fathers, as we pray over our children and grandchildren, some are still young, many have grown up, we always wonder, God, what is your plan for them? I feel this passage is for us today. Now, given the length of the passage, it's 36 verses, I will not be reading it today, but I will jog us through as I mention the main points of today's word. So allow me to first and foremost come to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, we give you praise for the reasons to celebrate. And with our celebrations comes a bit of intimidation. We are scared, oh Lord, because we cannot see the future. We are afraid because we do not know what we have in control of our lives. In fact, we are not. So teach us, oh Lord, to have our dependence on you. Speak to us through your word this day. Show us, O Lord, what does it mean to have a loving God and a gracious God to whom we serve and worship and to whom we yearn to hear your words today. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my rock, my Savior, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. God of love, God of grace. Any parent will know that love and grace must often go hand in hand. With love, we embrace, we care for our children. We worry about them, even though they are grown up. Don't believe me? Ask my parents. Yeah, I'm 36 years old, and oftentimes my mom will also ask me, have you eaten? What's wrong with you? Are you sick? You know, parents will always continue to worry, including fathers. People worry. And with that, and that comes from love. Now, of course, out of this, in for the sake of safety, we try and keep them close. We try and make them follow things. We try and let them follow a certain strict way so that they can keep safe, stay out of trouble, get out of harm's way. You know, don't eat that. It's been on the floor longer than 5 seconds. Sure, we try our very best. But we all know that our children, young people, they have minds of their own. We all have minds of our own. And so while we try and keep them in safety, they are going to make mistakes. And that's where grace comes in. The loving God is a gracious God. He sends His law so that we may keep steadfast and safe in Him. But the standard of God's holiness is so high that there's no way we can follow it. So what does that mean? Baptism, guys, I'm sorry, we are inviting you into a community where it's impossible to achieve God's standards. Which is true. Boys Brigade members, no amount of push-ups will ever get you into the kingdom of God. Fathers, we look ourselves in the mirror and we have to admit, we'll never be as perfect as our Heavenly Father. No way. Hence, grace. Grace comes in the other hand and is extended out to us each and every day that we may live our life anew, and as long as we have breath, our new life we may try again and again and again. Where do we see this in the passage? Well, we see, first and foremost, I put all 3 points up, so it's just easier for us to refer to very quickly. Could you go to the next slide, please? Oh, okay, I did it. All right. We first see, first point, in God's unconditional love for His people. Romans 11, verse 1 to 10, it shows the personal discourse that Paul has of God, about his people. He says, now that so many Gentiles, non-Jews, are now coming into the community of God, and now there's this new wave of believers in Jesus Christ through the non-Jews, does that mean that God has given up on the Jews? To which then the Apostle Paul says, absolutely not. In fact, he even points out to the Old Testament, do you not remember, O Israel, that even when, in the days of Elijah, where most of the community have turned away from God to worship other idols, and Elijah thought, dear God, have you left them? We then see in verse 4, and what of God's answer to him? I have reserved myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So in verse 5 and 6, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, it cannot be based on works. If it were grace, we will know. If it were works, grace would no longer be gracious. Grace, therefore, young people, by definition, you do not deserve it. When you get a gift for your SPM results that came out last week, that's not a gift of grace, that's a reward. But if your grades are not good and you got the gift anyway, that's not a reward, that's grace. And so for us, whenever we stand before God, that's why for every time we take communion, it is a reenactment of the soul of our first time encountering God, saying, dear God, we're never good enough. But thank you for your gift of grace in your Son, Jesus. The Apostle Paul then gives verse references in Deuteronomy and Isaiah, where he says that we see God has given them the freedom to love. And in that freedom of love comes, therefore, the option to rebel God. Now, this may seem to be a very difficult thing to understand, but it also seems to be the most natural. Why? Because where there is no freedom to choose God, there is no true love. Love is a conviction, a choice, a response to God. And so God gives us this freedom both to truly love God, love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, but because of our sin, we also have the propensity to rebel against Him. And yet, notice this, guys. No matter what the people, no matter how the people feel, the Lord God remains steadfast in His love for us. His love for us is unconditional. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as what the Lord identifies Himself to be, no matter how terrible the nations could be. And His unconditional love can be extended beyond race and culture. Many of us know of this great scene of the great exodus of people out of Egypt. Right, we've seen either the Prince of Egypt, or if we're older, we've seen the Ten Commandments, right, in the movie, and we see the great exit of people, where after the Passover, and God had taken the firstborn and passed over those who had shown their faith by the blood on the wall, the next morning, they were free to go. And we always see all the Jewish people, only Jewish people celebrating. Ashira Adonai Kimonav, you know? And it's all Jewish, right? But Exodus 12:38 reminds us that it was not only Jews that left. A multitude of peoples joined, along with their household, along with their inventory. The Jewish people were not necessarily homogenous. The Jewish people was not necessarily just descendant by bloodline. The Jewish descendants are those who put their faith in God. And that's us. By our simple faith in Him, we then get to witness God's unconditional love for us. If we ever need any further reflection, think of all the mistakes that we have made in our lives, and yet our fathers still allow us to keep the family name. Because as much as we have certain standards for our children, we also hold them in the hand of grace, and that is God's love for us. Secondly, not only do we see His unconditional love for His people, but we also see the undeserving grace for the world. There's a very interesting illustration the Apostle Paul makes in verses 11 to 24. Let me paraphrase it for you. He says that the Gentile people are like wild olive branches, which the gardener has taken out. And for the branches in his olive grove, those that did not bear fruit, he cut off those branches, and that leaves a gap. And at that gap, he then ties these wild olive branches onto the bush. The wild fruit-bearing olive branches is grafted into the old tree. And even until this day, they do this in order to revitalize the old tree so they may continue to bear fruit. And so the Apostle Paul talks about this paradox of this undeserving grace for the world. Let us admit it, my dear friends. We are not Jews. I don't see anyone keeping kosher. I don't see anyone wearing the necessary garb, so I don't think any of us are Jews in that way. But somehow, we are still called the people of God, the people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is that? You see, we were meant to just be wild groves out there. We were meant to just be left wild in the wilderness. But God, in His undeserving grace, takes those branches from takes branches from all over the world and grafted them into the tree, into the old olive tree, so that way a new life may be born. And when this happens, not only do the Gentiles are then grafted into the family of God, but the old tree of Israel is then renewed and refreshed. And so thus, we are a new Israel. The church of God is truly God's people. The church of God is therefore set to revitalize God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, of course, a paradox may come, and they ask the question, Mark, we are so different from the Jews. Are we still considered God's people? We worship on Sunday, not Saturday. We don't keep kosher. We eat char siu like nobody's business. Are we still part of the family? Well, I'm reminded of this philosophical paradox called the Ship of Theseus. The Ship of Theseus is a famous ship, a victorious ship. And after he had left Greece and conquered Crete, and they conquered the city by that ship, it was on their way back home. But because the ship went through such a great battle, much of the ship was damaged, but somehow it was still floating. And so on their way back, they have carpenters in the ship, and they decided to rebuild and keep and mix, rebuild, use new planks, replace the planks. The hull, the mast was broken. They put a new mast. The sails were torn. They put new sails. And on their way back home, they then asked the question, we replaced so much of the ship. Is it still the same ship that conquered Crete, or is it a totally new ship? What do you guys think? The answer is, of course, in the Christian faith, is yes. Because although the body may not be the same, the soul that led that victory remains. And that's why when the ship goes back to the city, it is welcome as if it was that very ship that brought victory in Crete. And so for us as Gentiles, for us as believers in the Lord Jesus, as for us who are newly grafted into this tree, we are welcome as God's people. So although we may look different, although our veneer is different, although our language is different, we are still the very one and same kingdom of God. Back to the previous point of His unconditional love for His people, let me ask you this question. What kind of love do we then give to those around us? Many times, of course, we give conditions because we don't want to be hurt. And if we don't know the person next to us, I can understand we have our little barriers, right? But marriage actually reminds us of God's love for His church and God's church for the rest of the world. Where if you notice, in the vows that the husband and the wife give unto one another, has no conditions to the other. You don't say, I, husband, take you, wife, as long as you cook for me 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, that I will love you. No, it's not. Right? The unconditional love is there. I, Mark Tan Yen Chin, take you, Tan Mei Lin, to be my wife, to heaven to hold, from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, according to God's holy law, till death do us part. And this is my solemn vow, my part. Thanks be to God, she said the same thing. No conditions. Because that is what Jesus' love gave for us. What conditions have you given to God? What conditions have you given to your people? We see that we are engrafted into the new ones. We see that we're engrafted into the people of God with His undeserving grace. Friends, how do we look upon ourselves as God's people? Do we think ourselves as second-grade citizens to say that, oh, okay, you know, we will follow only this part, we don't care about the rest? I'll come for Sunday service, but I won't come for Saturday morning prayer. Uh-oh. A part of the church family life includes care groups and fellowship and ministry. You know, do we put ourselves out of it and say, oh yeah, I don't need that. I don't deserve that. Actually, you do. You deserve that because that's being part of the family. It's like telling my boys' brigade members here, you can come for parade, but you don't need to go for drill. How would they feel? How would you guys feel? Come on, be honest, huh? No drill. Woo! Right? Right? But let me ask you this. If you join the parade, but there's no drill, are you really a boys' brigade member? Because it's one thing to take the uniform off, it's another thing to take the spirit out. It's one thing to replace the wooden boards, it's another thing to change the name of the ship. It's one thing, okay, to be a new identity in Christ. It's another thing to say that we actually don't want to be entirely Christian. How can we not be entirely Christian? And how much strength are we given? We see in His undeserving grace for the world. In the end of that, we then see Paul's overarching conclusion of Romans 11, verses 25 to 32, is not only is His love unconditional for His people, not only is His grace undeserving for the whole world, but we also see His mercy is unlimited to reconcile us. Let me read to you from verse 25 to 27. Here's His conclusion. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. Whoa, pause for a moment. The Jews have now been set aside in a way in that God says, my focus has been in on you for the whole Old Testament, and look what He has become. I now give focus on my Son, Jesus Christ, and His ability is far greater than the whole nation of Israel. And then we're able to save and care and display and reconcile the whole world. And in this way, verse 26, in this way all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will return godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Again, have you noticed that one-sided vow? God says, I will do this. I will send the deliverer who will come from Zion. That's Jesus. And He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, the people of Israel. And this is God's covenant with them. And through the Redeemer, the Messiah that comes from Zion, the one that will save Israel, He will take away all of their sins. And so forth. And so therefore, Paul's mission field expanded no longer to just Jews, but to also the Gentiles. Because like we said in Romans 10, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. We then see that God has now extended His gospel to all of Israel in all the world. Here we see, as far as the gospel is concerned, in verse 28, they are enemies for your sake. Can you imagine? For the gospel, we are like enemies. Because why? We are yearning for it as well. And the Israels are not getting it. But by the grace of God, they will get it. Because God is faithful. And we see Israelites all over the world, people of Jewish backgrounds, now standing up for the cause of Christ. As far as the election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. Meaning God has his eyes set on the people of Israel still, while his other sight is then given for the whole world to receive. That is why for us, God looks not only to the noble, but to the poor. Not only to the good, but to the evil. Not only to the domestic, not only to the nationals, but to the immigrant. That's why God's heart will always be with the widow, the orphan, and the alien. When Sir William Alexander Smith, the founder of the Boys' Brigade, moved from his little town of Thurso to Glasgow to be a businessman, a volunteer soldier, and a Sunday school teacher, he could have kept his discipline and nobility to himself. He is a son of a rich businessman. He took up the business under the tutelage of his uncle. He was a patriotic man. He served king and country in the Lanarkshire Rifle Volunteers. And as if serving the king on earth is not good enough, he also spent every Sunday teaching Sunday school after church. He did serve king and country. His king is above in the heavens. He could have kept that to himself and said, you know what? That'll do. But then he realized that his life was not just to be good enough for God, because that was never his theology in the first place. His theology is that he could do this because God enabled him. He did not think himself good enough to go to God, but God was gracious enough to reconcile him to the family of God through his son Jesus, and therefore he cannot leave it alone. And so thus on Sunday school, while teaching the boys there, he noticed that they are having trouble reconciling their life to God. Because many of these children whom he was reaching out to were already working, 13 years old, already working in factories, 13 years old, already taken to alcoholism. Gin was the drink of the youth in those days. And so when they go to church, they are fidgety, they are withdrawal, they are hungover, they are depressed, and they are without guidance. So William saw it to himself and he said, you know what? If I can command a whole regiment of men, I can certainly then reach out to young people by using the same disciplines that keeps him to be identified as the God, as one who serves King of Kings and his country. Surely he can impart that to the young people. This year marks the 140th anniversary of the Boys Brigade around the world, reaching out and giving a means of reconciliation to many, many young boys and girls. Some of them we may know from afar. Sir Alec Ferguson, the former manager at Manchester United, was a BB boy. And he thanks the discipline and the camaraderie and the closeness that he had seen from being part of church and BB that then led him to lead one of the greatest legacies in football history. Chelsea fans might disagree. Let's leave that aside. Locally, we see Tan Sri Teh Hong Piao, a former second lieutenant of the 20th Singapore Boys Brigade Company. And although he himself was not a committed Christian, he thanks God that the Boys Brigade has given him that structure and discipline and a means of self-respect, because he then realized that he is truly graciously gifted by God the opportunity to live as he did. The work of God is a work of reconciliation. And all reconciliation must come by mercy. Just as we see in verse 30 and to 32. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. This sounds very weird. Did God purposely make everyone disobedient? No, not really. Rather, he has given mankind, both Jew and Gentile, the opportunity to respond to him. And the funny thing is this, when we want to respond to God, there's no terms and conditions applied. The only thing we need to do is depend on his mercy and then be reconciled to his family. Friends, can you recall a time that you had given mercy unto another person? Can you recall a time when mercy has been given to you? As they say in the Proverbs, mercy is given to whom gives mercy. Not that God will never give you mercy as long as you don't give mercy, but we will never realize mercy that's been given to us until we realize, yeah, we need to give mercy to others. And if I have to give mercy to others, surely therefore I must be given a whole lot of grace and mercy. And ultimately, yes, we are given mercy so that we may stand a chance to realize that we are now graciously and lovingly welcomed into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. So for BB members today on this BB Sunday, I pray that you will think of the music that you have just sung and led for us in worship. This is my Father's world, or let me ne'er forget, of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, the music of the sphere. God is ever around us. Remember the third stanza especially. Either this is my Father's world, or let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. I rest in me the thought. Or let me ne'er forget, Jesus who died, he shall be satisfied, and he and earth and heaven be one. To fathers, we remember of the grace that God has given us on the cross, surveyed on a regular basis, so that before we demand such a high standard to our children, we must first remember the mercy and reconciliation that God gave us, so that our guidance to our children will be that of love and redeeming and reconciling grace. To baptism candidates, you are now grafted into the family of God. You are now made into new branches, and guess what? You now have the opportunity to bear fruit. So let your witness continue on, not just in the ceremony that you had just now, but now in your everyday lives, that I commit to the Lord Jesus my whole life, just as I did in the waters of baptism. And on this resurrection day, as you go from here, know this, my dear friends, in Jesus Christ, we are then made one family. That his grace is enough, more than we ever need. And all we need to do is that the word of his gospel, we believe. That freely he gave it all for us, surrendered the life upon the cross. Great is his love poured out for all. This is our God. Lifted from high, from death to life, forever our God is glorified. Servant and king, he rescued the world. This is our God. It's no wonder that the response, next slide. It's no wonder that the response that Paul has at the end of the passage is that of praise. Look at this passage and compare it to Romans 9 verses 1 to 3 and see the difference. In Romans 9 verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul was nervous, anxious. He was like, oh God, you know, I see Gentiles coming to know Christ, but I don't see Israel coming to know Christ. What's going to happen? And upon realizing the plan of God to extend His love, grace, and mercy to the whole world, he then responds in praise. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been His counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay them. For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. The crux of this doxology, the crux of this hymn of praise is this. Oh God, I did not do anything. I could not do anything, but God, You did everything. This is our God who has done everything. And so let us now, very simply, respond in praise and to live out that life of grace, love, and mercy that He has given to us, that we may also give to others. Let's pray. Oh, merciful God, thank You so much for Your grace. Thank You so much for Your love for us, oh Lord. We thank You that as You have planted the tree of life, You did not think of a particular people group. You only thought of Your people who would respond to You in love through Jesus Christ. And therefore, oh Lord, that tree of life is not merely a small branch in the Middle East, but is of outflowing of the Holy Spirit, where the vine, therefore, is planted in our hearts, and we are called to bear fruit as part of the branches of Your great kingdom. Thank You, O Lord, for the undeserving grace You've given to us. The grace that You've shown into a small people group in the Middle East who could have been nothing. But in that small group, O Lord, You have shown how mighty You are. And now you have extended that invitation to nations around the world, including Malaysia. Thank You, O God. We don't deserve it. We pray, O Lord, that we will freely give as we have freely received Your mercy. And God, we pray that our life will be a life of reconciliation. We pray for fathers who here today who need to reconcile with their children. Lord, we pray Your spirit of peace upon them. We pray for the Boys Brigade ministry. They may continue to reconcile members to the great captain, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our baptism candidates, O Lord, who have gone through the ordinance of baptism. Show them, O Lord, that how in Your love and grace, You have reconciled them into Your family. And You extend that to all those around us. For us, O Lord, Your church who celebrate Your resurrection, remind us, O God, that Your resurrection is not merely for this hall. Your resurrection is for the whole world, that we may reconcile with You. And we thank You that You have made the first step. How great is Your love that is poured out for all. This is our God. Make us ever, O Lord, the instrument of love, grace, and mercy in all walks of life, for Your glory, through Your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name, amen.